Finished the rest today for now. Had been alach, of course. Everything could always be revisited, but we've been trying to analyze some very important points in the rush. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday and then go to the other part of the rush with regard to the Rambam. From here, to just give you a sense of where we'll go from here, I want to talk about Rashi and the Mishnah. We never have to revisit Rashi and the Mishnah as far as how Rashi understood Herhino and Me'achshav. He left it out. He left out Me'achshav. He doesn't really give us a sense of how he understood the Gemara and what's the exact pshat in the Mishnah. Also, there's a very important nekudas in the Mechamos of the Ramban, so I want you to want to look at that. And then maybe Inyan Chametz Mafkia Mideshi, but what it means by Chametz exactly, a few Rashis to look at. So that's, and that's basically what we have left. Rabbeinu Dabin and the Ramban are very much in a similar vein in terms of their look at the Sugya. We don't have that many days to go. We have next week is a short week because of Shavuos. So then we have just a few days after that. So, Yitzh Hashem, we'll be able to finish and then a few lines till the Mishnah as well, the next piece of Gemara. Okay, so with regard to the Rush, the question that we've been focusing on in the Rush is why we need Herhino and Me'achshav to explain the Mishnah according to Rava. What is wrong if they had one and not the other? The way the Torah that we saw yesterday explains that there are three conditions that need to be met in order to say that the Chametz belongs to the Malveh. The first case in Mishnah, the Malveh is a guy. In the second case, the Malveh is Yisrael. In order that that din should be correct, you need three conditions. It has to be that it was Hirhino, he gave it to him. The Lova gave it to the Malveh at the time of the loan, the Chametz. It has to be that he said Me'achshav. And it has to be he defaulted. Right. So the Pasha Pshat, for now we're going to go with this understanding of Me'achshav. It's like a Mechira. Basically, it's a transaction that's established right now with a condition. If I don't pay you this money at the time of the due date, you will acquire this right now, and there's a Maisa Kinyan, presumably. And that's according to the Rid and the Riyah is the very reason why you need Hirhino, because you need a Maisa Kinyan. But Lamaisa, if you have a different Maisa Kinyan, without having to give it to him to do Mashicha, you can do Agav Karka, you can do Suder, also good, in which case you could have left it in the Rishus of the Loveh, but Lamaisa belongs to the Malveh because subsequently he defaulted, and therefore the Tanai was fulfilled, and that would be enough to say the din of the Mishnah. But from the Rush we see otherwise, L'chaira, and this is at least the Kabbalah Sano thinks that maybe the Rush ends up really meaning like the Riyaz, but the Pasha Pshat, and that's how the Magen Avraham Kli took it, it's a Machlokas, and the Vach certainly understood it that way, that the Rush would hold that even if you had a Kinyan, that the Lover and the Malveh arranged that the Malveh should acquire, do Maisa Kinyan, Sud or whatever, to acquire this Me'achshav, but it was not physically deposited in the Rishus of the Malveh, then the din would not be that the Malveh is considered the bone of the Chametz, but it's still Rishus HaLover. And the question is why? So the way that the Rush presents it, the way the Bach understands, the Rush is saying that if, let's start with the case of the Resha, the case is that the Nachri lent the Yisrael, and since the Halacha is that Yisrael, who's Mekabel Achrayis, on a Pikadon of a Nachri that's in his Rishus, the special limo that we learn out, that's enough to violate by Rabbi Matzah, even though it's not technically yours, the Etzem, but it's you assume the Nachrayis for it. So that's Kidul Chondami. It's enough to violate by Rabbi Matzah. That's a drasha that we have earlier in Daf Hey. Therefore, says the Rush, presumably, if you have a case where this Chametz, which is a mashkin collateral for the loan, and the Chametz is still by the Lovet, so the assumption is that the Lovet was Mekabel Achrayis. In which case, there's going to be a problem of Chametz Avor Pesach because it's considered the Jews' Chametz. Therefore, you need Hirhino. What's different about Hirhino? So really, you can say one of two possibilities. We should speak this out. I don't know if we did exactly. The way I think we've been leaning to suggest it means that the assumption is that if it's by the Loveh, then he's Mekabel Achrayis. He's giving the Chametz to the Malveh, so the Nachri has the Chametz, then it's on you, then it's your loss. Something happens, I'm not Mekabel Achrayis. The umdina is that the Rashi was saying, you're Mekabel Achrayis when you kept the Chametz by you, even though you're saying Me'achshav and everything else, to Mashkin, but if it's by you, then the assumption is you're Mekabel Achrayis. If you give it to the Malveh, then it's his Kabbalah Achrayis, and then therefore, that's the difference. The other way to say it, Mekiv Eger takes it this way, which is also interesting. Let's just spell it out. There's a din, the Magen Avraham and the Ramah seem to say the following, and it's really Tosus and Davav. Halach of Kabbalah Sachrayis, that if a Jew is Mekabal Achrayis on Chametz of a Nachri, he's in violation by Rabbi Matzeh, is only if the Jew is Mekabal Achrayis on Chametz of a guy while it's in his possession. In other words, it's in safekeeping by the Jew, and he's Mekabal Achrayis for that Chametz of the non-Jew that's by the Jew. But if it's Chametz Shel Nachri, Shekibel Yisrael Achrayis, but it's Bishus Nachri on Pesach, there is no halacha that the Jew violates. And this is a Mefurash Tosas on Davav, on the, again, those who learned Davav, the Tosas on Yichid Lo Bayis, that's one of the cases that the Braisa talks about, that in that case, the Jew is non-violation. Yichid Lo Bayis, as the Braisa in Zakuk Levayer, Tosas learns Pshat, that even though it's a case of Kabbalah Sachrayis, but if the Jew designates a spot that it's your spot, it's rented for you, this space is for you, the Nachri, says Tosus, at the end of that Tosus, he says, that would be fine. Why? Because, ki'ilu kibel alav achrayis achem so shel Nachri, bevei so shel Nachri. It's an interesting halacha. So this halacha, kabbalas achrayis, is only when it's in the reshus of the Jew, and it's mekabal achrayis on the chametz of the non-Jew. But if it's back in the reshus of the Nachri himself, or some other Nachri, there would be no din. So therefore, that's another way to understand the difference. In other words, could be the Kabbalah Sachrayis is there in both cases, but it's not going to matter in a case where it's Hirhina. Okay. But the other way is also good. The first way is also good. But the assumption is you're not in the Kabbalah Sachrayis if it's by the Nachri. This is what the Rush says. So yesterday, we're not going to go over everything from yesterday. The question that we dealt with yesterday mostly is, so why is it different for Abaye? If my favorite will go there, so it's Mashmah the Gemara, you don't need Hirhina. The same question should be, what about Kabbalah Sachrayis? And we explained what we explained yesterday in terms of that. So it's not called Kabbalah Sachrayis in terms of Abaye, because the loan is simply not paid. That's not called Kabbalah Sachrayis on the Chametz itself. The question that we struggled with after that, that we left without fully giving an answer to, is what would therefore be the Peshat in the Sefer? Because if we go on in the Rush, after the Rush discusses the Rambam, which we'll come back to, the Rush therefore continues along and discusses the case of the Sefer. So if you just follow me along in the Rush, just skip a few lines, right, in Siman Yud. After discussing the Rambam, and he disagrees with the Rambam, he continues, and he says, it's in the Oz V'Hadar, it's the third line on the left column, B'Yisrael Shehuva Sanach V'Yalchem Tzorach Achar Pesach Asa Bahana. So that's the case of the Sefer, Yisrael landing in Nachri. Mayri Nami is also discussing Kishirhino Etzlo V'Amalo Me'achshav. So again, whatever is the case of the Reisha in the Mishnah is the case of the Sefer. So what's the case of the Mishnah? Both the Reisha being the Nachri the Malveh, the Sefer the Yisrael the Malveh, Hirhino and Me'achshav. So the Rush explains Mayri Kishirhino V'Amalo Me'achshav V'Ilav Hachi Lo Kani LeYisrael. Because without the Me'achshav, he's talking about the Me'achshav point now, so what are you going to say? Kinyan Mashkin? Says the Rush, but we know that that's a Machokas. And who do we hold like? Not like Rav Meir. How do we hold about Kinyan Mashkin? Yisrael ben Achri, Lokan. So what do you need, therefore, that it should be for Yisrael to be viewed as the owner of the Chametz? What do you need? No? What's going to make it that the Me'achshav? That's what the Rush focuses on. So he says, Dilavachi Lokan ele Yisrael, the Kaimon Ketana Kam, Rav Meir. Tanakam of Rav Meir in that brisa, the Yisrael Menachri lo kani mashkin, huka chafil hirhino etzlo, ilo amal me'achshav shari. But meanwhile, what do you see at the same time, without the Rush having to spell it out? Okay, you need me'achshav, but what else do you need? What's the assumption of hirhino? And here is our problem. Because l'chayra, why do you need hirhino in this case? In this case, the Yisrael is the malva. If the goy said me'achshav, and the tonight was fulfilled, so what are you going to say? So if it's by the non-Jew, he's mekabel achrayis. Okay, so what? Why should that matter? Well, should it matter? Should it not matter? Well, that takes us back to the first parak and the tour at the end of Taf Mem. where you have a machlokas on this very case, where the Rush quotes Yesh Min HaGaonim, who holds that if Israel gives chametz as a pikadon to another Jew or a non-Jew, whatever the case may be, and that shomer is mekabel achrayis, again, whatever standard of achrayis is required for normal halachas of achrayis to be violated by Yerayim Matzei and chametz of a nachri, in this case, mekabel achrayis on the Jew's chametz. So the Gaonim say that the maskid is not over by Yerayim Matzei. And the Rush is cholik. So according to the Gaonim, we understand what could be the pshat in our Mishnah, according to the Rush, that you need to have Hirhino. Because without Hirhino, we wouldn't have a problem for the Yisrael to violate by Yerayim Matzei. Why? Because it's the case where it's by another, it's situated right now by the other, by the non-Jew, and he's mekabel achrayis, and the Gaonim hold that in that case, the mafkid isn't over. But the Rush is cholik, that's the problem. Before we say achilah, before we have svarah that I found in Sfas Emes Batsim to be machalik, and l'chor will try to elaborate a little bit. But it's interesting because I found in the Magen Avram and the Gra. So as I noted in Taf Nam Aleph, Sif Aleph is Akum Shehilva, that's the Yisrael Achemsa, that's the first case of the Mishnah. And it talks about Hirhino and Me'achshav and so on. And then Sebeis, Yisrael Shilva L'Akam Achemso, in Mishkino B'yado, V'amro Me'achshav. Then, if he didn't pay, Aser, Shem Dikane Leila Mafreya, that's the din of Me'achshav. So the Rush says, the Magen Avram says, the Lashon on Machaber is, Shem Dikane Leila Mafreya, because of Me'achshav, says the Magen Avram, V'im Kain, Sif Katan Hei, Afilu Lo Mishkino B'yado, in the Knahulo, Me'achshav Aser. So what the Rush is suddenly doing, the Magen Avram is suddenly doing, is invoking what? Reason for Mishkino, Kinyan, which means he's falling back on the Riyaz. Strange, right? Because, I mean, we're not with the Riyaz, right? Earlier he mentions the Riyaz, the Shutta Giborim, the Hikno is enough, but then he mentions the Rush. But here he says, you need a Kinyan. Sounds like, in a Chanami, throw your hands up, in terms of Yisrael, Shehva Lenachri, if there were proper Kinyan, and you have the Me'achshav, then you have all you need for the Yisrael to violate. The Gra as well. In Mishkino, v'amalo. Avo imlo Mishkino, says the Gra. Imlo Mishkino, afagav sh'amalo me'achshav, lo kana Yisrael, kivan sh'lo kanu mimenu b'kinyan, ayin Magen Avram, sifkat and hey, what I just quoted. The Gra and the Magen Avram both seem to be saying, pshat, in the Machaber, that the case of Yisrael Shehilva is Mishkino. Why Mishkino? Because without Mishkino, you're lacking a Kenyan. So interesting. So in other words, they're basically acknowledging the premise of our question. But what I'm puzzled by is, but the Rush, Mineuvei, if you're going to learn the Rush, like the Bach, and the Rush explains why you need Hirhino because of his reason. No, even if there would be a Kenyan, there'd still need for Hirhino because otherwise Kabbalah Sachrayis would make it a problem for the Jew, even though the guy was the Malva. So like, it sounds like whatever the reason you need Hirhino is one case, it's the reason in the other case. And now what we're seeing here in the Nosei Kehim of the Shulchan Aruch is that in the case of Yisrael Shehova, the only reason you need Hirhino is because of the Kenyan. It's odd. Sounds like L'chaira, it would be more glad to assume that even if there would be a Kenyan, but the Israel would be off the hook if it was not a Hirhino. That's what I would want to say. And that's our problem. Bishlam, according to the Gaonim, who hold that if the Shomer is Mekabel Achrayis, then the Mafkid is not violating, then I understand. But the Rush is Cholik. So, which is why Lenz us opportunity to see if we can look at the fine print of that Rush in Perek Aleph, that which the Rush argues on Gaonim, and maybe suggest a svara l'chalek between the Gaonim, case of the Gaonim of a Shomer, where the Rush would say that the Mafkit is over, even though the Shomer is Mekabel Achrayis, And the case of a malva and a lova and a meyachshav, where the Rush might hold otherwise, that here he would agree with the Gaonim. That's what we're trying to do. Again, it's the outcome of what we're trying to do. But I'm just demagdim. You see, Yochim Magen Avraham and the Gra, basically they say, yeah, you need Kanon the other, you need Mishkanel because we're Kenyan. What we want to do is figure out maybe the Rush could be Machalik. And I just give you an indication that the Rush, in fact, can see this case as better than the case of Shomer and Mafkid. And that's because even when the Rush spoke about the first case, of Nachri Shehova, when the Rush says that without Hirhino, the Yisroh Halova would violate it, how did the Rush present the issue of Kabbalah Sachrayis? How did he explain it? What were his words? Logara. Logara means not, it's the same, it's better. So to me, that's another indication that maybe there's something in this case that the Lovas Kabbalah Sachrayis is better than what would ordinarily be a normal case of Kabbalah Sachrayis, and that logara in the case of Nachri Shehelva could be the basis for being Machalek in the case of Yisrael Shehelva, that here the Rush would agree to the Gaonim. Why would that be? So you want to say something? Noach, tell me what you think.
I didn't want to... No, it's fine.
You can steal my thunder if you want, it's fine.
There's another question. There's, in the Rush, after he talks about the Sefer and Perikbeth, he says that in a case where the Jew, just Herhenu by the Jew, not Ma'achshav,
yes.
He's potter, right? Because you need both.
Right, because otherwise he says it would be right. Right, right.
He says something interesting in the next line. Umari she'in achrayis hamashkin shviyado alav. Dim achrayis alav, afilu goy hay hamashkin shlo over. In a way, that's kind of a funny thing to say, because the posh just is that he thinks herhenu means achrayis. But he's saying in this direction, when it's herhenu, it's not achrayis. I don't know.
Right. What does he write? What does he mean by that line? Umayri she'en achrayis hamashkin shebiyado olaf. We're talking about a case of Hirino, and he's still emphasizing that if there was be achrayis, then yeah.
Shita seems to be that Herhenu like is achrayis.
Well, at least the way the way we learned it, that it depends that achrayis is a function of whether he gave it to him or not, right? Yeah. But I guess you could always find it, you know, specifically he could say, right?
Right.
Well, then it's right. Okay. Interesting. It's a good point. Okay. So what could we say? So if you look at the lashon of the Rush in the first parak, when he quotes the Gaonim and he's arguing on the Gaonim, so let's think about what are the Gaonim saying, and what is the basis of the Rush this disagreement. Notice that it's what seems to be very much part of the case. This is again Simen Dalet in Perek Rishon Sachem Simen Dalet Yesh Min Middle of the Simen Yesh Min Agolim Shomer Shisrael Sheifkid Chemso Etzo Nachri Etzo Yisrael Chaveru Kiva Hanifkad Alav Achrayis Hanifkad Chay BeBiuro VeLo Amafkid Api Shushelo Kimishin BeShlisso. So the way that many learn and Pashtus have the lashon of the Rashi Shagizai says it Mefurish. The Shita of the Gaonim is specifically because it's not just the fact that it's not in the physical possession of the Yisrael HaMafkid. It's that the Nifkad was Mekabel Achrayis. In other words, let's say the Yisrael would put this Chametz, the Mafkid this Chametz by a non-Jew, by another Jew, over Pesach, so it's not in his house, it's in the other one's house, in the Shomer's house, and there was no Kabbalah Achrayis. So that could also be, one could argue, maybe it's not called Beischa, it's not called Bateichem. But the Gaonim L'chora are only speaking about the case where there was Kabbalah Sachrayis. Now they learn it from a Mechilta, that Zdarshin's be Bateichem Lamanemar, and then there's this Yatza, Chemso, Shal Yisrael, the second half, Beshus HaNachri, Shus Shaloba, and a Beshuso. But notice, it's because of the Achrayis. In other words, were it not Achrayis, so then it's still considered to be wherever it is by the Shomer, by the Mafkid rather. But once you see it, that once you see that the Shomer is Mekabel Achrayis, so L'chayru, what's the Pshat in the Gaonim? The Pshat in the Gaonim is that when the Shomer has the stake in it, called Achrayis, so in that regard you say that he's holding it for himself. He has something in this himself. And therefore, that's what makes it ki'ilu, it's not fully the mafkid, and the mafkid doesn't violate. Now, when you see that from the way the Rush argues on the Gaonim, if you go a few lines down, the Nir Ali says the Rush, not like them, the Dabar Pashit, who says the Rush, The Afa Pisha Nifka Kibel Abachrais. I hear the Mekabachrais. The Komakam Iker Hamamon Shalabailim. The Iker Mammon is the Bailims. The Kimshish Ilo Nifka Beso Ishmias Mamono, Karidim Be Beso. And since the Shomer has the he has a place that he's holding it for the nafkid. I have to know how literally to take those words, hishilo deso. But the idea is clear that he's holding it for the nafkid. Karin bebeso. Let's pause right there. We'll leave the last one in a second. So, what seems to be the thrust of the Rush's disagreement with the Yeshman Gaon? And the Svara, he understands. It's not off the wall, the Svara. The Svara is, yeah, Lamaisa, it's considered to be not the mafkid because the Shomer is holding it for himself. He has achrais. And the Rush's response is, no, but he's holding it for the mafkid. So the achrais is not enough to say that it's by the Shomer. No, it's for me. If that's the nekuda that the Rush disagrees with, then one could say the following. When you have a Shomer, an ordinary case of a Shomer, well, I gave it to you to me for what to watch. You're watching it for me. So notwithstanding the fact that you have a chrayis here, but that's called, it's for me. It's by me. I left it for you, but it's for me. That's called beischa. But what's our case about? Our case with the meyachshav. Granted, and we'll have to see, maybe even the Rush took meyachshav not as literally as we're assuming with the case of a mechira. But even if we won't go there yet, but just simple. A lova and a malva. This Rove who is not Hirhino, he says, this chametz will be yours if I default. But the Rove still thinks and may very well pay. He has a stake in this. It's his mammon in a certain way, even though if the meyachshav ends up becoming what it is, then it really wasn't his. But that's all a function of the fact that he defaults. But there is the Iker Mammon in some way is, in fact, the Loves. A Love who could be paying and keeping his Mammon, even though he makes a Tanaya Me'achshav, which would mean that it becomes the Malve, for such a situation, the Rush would agree with the Gaon. That if it's by the Love who has the possibility of being able to retain this Chametz, so then the Rush wouldn't say he's holding it for the Malve. He's holding it for the Mafkid. If it's just purely the fact that there's Achrayis, says the Rush, I'm not impressed. It's really the Mafkid. He's holding it for the Mafkid. It's for me. That's enough for me to violate by my Mafkid. But in a case like this, the Rush could perhaps hold that without Hirhino, in a Chinami, the Gaonim are right. A Malve and a Lova situation where the Lova's Chametz is offered to the Mavo with a Tanaya Me'achshav. Now again, this is going to be a lot easier to swallow if we can modify Me'achshav, and maybe we will. Because we haven't, at this point we did some Me'achshav as a straightforward Mechira al Tanai. But if we could temper that a little bit, it's a lot easier to hear what we're saying. But for now we'll just say as follows. It's the Chametz of the Lova who offers it with a Tanaya Me'achshav, should I default? Meanwhile, Pesach is here, and during that time, it's by the Lova who could pay the loan. Says the Rush, in this picture, I don't assume that, and there's a chrais, right? And there's a chrais by the Lova. I don't assume that it's considered to be, he's holding it for the Malva. He might be, but he might not be. Everyone hear the chiluk? There's a chiluk here, right? So that might be the basis for the Rush's agreeing to the Ishagon, and if that's the case, that's the Logara in the other half of the Mishnah. What was the other part of the Rush? That the Resha, the Mishnah, of a Nachri Sheilva. So says the Rush, it had to be Hirhino, otherwise the Jew, the Lova, would violate by Rabbi Matze. Why? It's Logara. Why is it Logara? It is what it is. He's Makabal Achrais. That's the case. That's the Bach Pshad. It's the case. It's Kabbalah Sakh. Why is Logara? The answer is it's better. Because it's not just a Shomer who's Mekabel Achrayis, it's a Lova who could not default and could end up keeping it. So for him, it's even more, it's better than Stam Kabbalah Achrayis. Therefore, this Nekuda that we're showing you, that the fact that by a love and a malve, it's even more so the moment of the love, even by Meyachshav, because of the stake that he has, that he could end up keeping it. So that shaykhis, called a shaykhis, to the mammon, is what makes this case more, that you could see it as the lovers, even more than a normal case of a shomer, where the Rosh argues and the government says it's really for the maskit. The ikar svara found in the spasemis, but l'chor it's bergish makachiluk. And that could be a way of saying why you need a rino, both in the Resha and in the Sefer. Okay. I alluded to the fact that maybe the Me'achshav is not even a simple Me'achshav either, which makes it a lot easier to hear what we're saying. That really is Ikar Mammon of the Lov. We'll have to see what that could mean. Question. Yeah.
So, for an analogy, if, as the case, what does my hand add to? What does that take away from the Lov?
In other words, the Rosh's argument on the Yeshman HaGaonim is because we say that since the Mammon is the Mafkids, and the Shomer is just a stand-in for the mafkid, therefore, even though he's mekabel achrayis, it's still not enough to take the mafkid off the hook. What we're suggesting is when you have a malva velova situation, where the lova is supplying, saying that I'm willing to give you this if I default, but meanwhile it's still by the lova of a Pesach, and there's a kabbalah achrayis, that situation, the Rosh can hear the Gaonim's view more readily. That's my point. Why? Because it's the lova is mekabel achrayis, and it's not as much like he's mamish has scanned into the malva. He's not. He may very well end up keeping it. So even if he doesn't keep it, if he ends up defaulting, it ends up being a meyachshav being fulfilled. But the very fact that it's totally the omed, and as far as he's concerned, he might actually be able to retain his money. So that stake that he has, and that shaykhus that he has, makes it more palatable to hear the Gaonim Svara, that his achrayis that he has on this chametz during Pesach is viewed as he's holding it for himself, not for the malva. Even if l'maisa it defaults, and the me'asa gets triggered, and the tie is fulfilled, but his holding it is not holding it for the malva. He's hoping to keep it. That's the chiluk. And therefore, even when the other side of the coin, by the nachriya malva, the Rosh said better than achrayis, lo gorach achrayis. Because he understands that here there's more going for it, that we should see it as the Rishus HaLove. So you can't totally put the Lova Mava situation and equate it with the Shomer Mafkin. Now, the emphasis is that this may even be easier to understand if we tweak Me'achshav. That I think we're going to have to see, maybe within the Rambam, maybe within Rashi, but maybe even within Rashi himself. And why do I say this? Because of the next line of the Rosh back in the first paragraph. A very difficult Rosh. The very last line, what about the Mechilta? So the Gaonim had their Shita from the Mechilta, right? That shows Mechilta's Drasha of Batechem is to tell me that if you have the case where it was given to a Shomer who's Mechabu Achrayis, the Mafkid's not violating. Says the Rosh, who argues, Vahidah Mechilta, the last one of the Rosh in Siman Dalet, Vahidah Mechilta, Mayri Benachri Shilbo Yisrael Alchem Tzokit Nan Perakol Shah. What in the world is the Rosh referring to? What case? So if you don't look too carefully at the words, you say that the Rosh would discuss what case? Nachri Shilva L'Yisrael. Well, what could you say? Well, that's exactly the question. So what could the Rosh mean? So you could say the Rosh means the case he's discussing right now, that we're discussing. Yisrael Shilva L'Nachri V'lo Hirhino. So then if it's not Hirhino, then Yisrael would not violate it. That would be very nice way to be the Mechilta. But then you have to do surgery on the words of the Rosh, right? The Svasemis entertains maybe the Tosofa and the Rosh. What is the Rosh saying? But he says Kiditnan. So he's referring to the Mishnah. So what is he referring to? So what in the world does the Rosh mean? What is the case of the Mishnah? Nachri Shabbisolachem, so Acha Pesach, what? Mutabana. Why Mutabana? Because it's retroactively viewed as whose chametz? Nachri's. So, very good. And why is that? Because it was a regular Tanai Me'achshav, right? So that's a drasha of Mechilta from Batechem? I need a pasuk for that? Isn't it as simple as that? What do you make of the end of the Rosh? What is the Rosh saying? That the drasha of Mechilta is not to tell me what the Gaonim said. What is it? So he says, it's Mayri. So if you take that at face value, he's discussing the first case of the Mishnah. In this case, in the Mishnah, according to Rava, is a straightforward case of Irhino and Me'achshon. And it becomes a Chametz Shel Nachri because of the fact that there was a Tanai and the Tanai was fulfilled, it becomes the Nachri's Umafreya. So, of course, it's Mutter. So, who needs a drasha for that? You have a problem? So, that's Emma struggles with this also. But what I think we begin to suggest, and this is we have to try to see where else we can find indications of this, that if we find a way to Taish Me'achshon differently, not the way we've been saying until now, it's Ramban is Mashmah, the Machamos is a straightforward Kenyan with a Mechira al Tanai, but something short of that, that somehow it's the law be giving Rishus to the Malva to collect at his will, but it's not necessarily a straightforward Mechira al Tanai, then there's what to talk about, that maybe you'll say that even with all of this, but Umaisa, the bailus of this Mammon is still the Lovis, is still the Yisraels. So I need a drush. But we have to explain what this would mean. But I think that could, to me, it's a little bit of an indication that the rush did not take Me'achshav to be such a simple thing. Because then you wouldn't need a drasha unless you change the gears of the rush. And if that's correct, then it just makes what we just said that much better. Because the shomer is mamish holding it for the maskid. But the lover, it's really his chametz, even after the Me'achshav. It's just that it's enough to be able to view it as a chametz of the malva. But maybe without Hirhino, it wouldn't work. Maybe whatever Me'achshav is needs Hirhino as well, because of the Kabbalah Sachrayis and so on. Okay, let's go to the other part of the Rush with regard to the Rambam. The Rambam is his own Inyan here. The Rambam brings a new Tanai into the mix, and this is what the Torah quotes as well, that we saw yesterday. The Torah says there are three conditions, but the Rambam adds a fourth. But what are the three conditions that the Torah says needs to happen in order for this chametz to be the malvis? It has to be Hirhino, it has to be Me'achshav, and it has to be that he defaulted. And what did he say, Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Rambam hold? What else? It has to be that this man, Hapiron, was called in Pesach. That's Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Rambam. But Haravid, he sigalov, says the Torah, the Amash and Megiyah's man called in Pesach, will paro, pigo, amal Me'achshav mutter. The Rabbit says, we'll see in a minute inside, but if a hiskim adoni of a rush. So how did the Rush understand the Rambam? It's not clear, but what the Rush holds is clear. Right. So we have to know, either from the Rush, and we'll try to see if the Nosei Kam and the Rambam have to say about this. So back in our Rush, in the second parak, right, so now the Chen Kas Rambam is like a new point, right? It's not directly on what we just said before. Continues the Rush. Let's find it. Okay. The chen katz of a Rambam perek dal hilchas chametz matzah. V'hu sheyia hazman shekavelo kodem haPesach. The fact that it becomes the chametz of the Nachri and it's mutter b'anaf the Pesach is only when the due date was before Pesach. Avol mazman l'achar Pesach. If it's not due to after Pesach, then usher. It's usher, even though you had what? You had Hirhino, and you had what? Me'achshav, and you had default. But if this man was after Pesach, then during Pesach, it was unknown what would end up happening after Pesach, and the default was what happened, that he defaulted on the loan. But meanwhile, the Rambam says that would be a problem for the Jew, would be Jews' chametz. Because then the kinyan of the Nachri, now again, understanding, if Me'achshav is a real Tonight, what does he mean? But the Ram has a Tosefta. Seemingly, Vachi Tani B'Tosefta, the Mechilton, says as follows: Nachri Shilva Yisrael Al Chemso Ba'Amalo. The Nachri says, if the Yisrael says to the Nachri, Mulbasi Kodem HaPesach, so he's Kodem HaPesach. V'Loni Hiruli. So what does the Rush ask on the Ram? Number one, his main kasha. Do Amino Le'el Ibad Abaye. The Gemara looks at our Mishnah and says, Abaye, perfect. Slam dunk. The Mishnah is perfect. Yam bishlam al mafer gove mishmachim mutabana. The Bishus de Nachri koi. What do we see? Am afa gav the base Yisrael koi. Elish in achrai sal Yisrael. Even though, what? Over Pesach. Point to Abaye, it's not Arino, right? Point to Abaye, where is it? The base Yisrael. Elish in Achrayis, I said, by the way, here's the interesting key Lashon of the Rush, that the Rush assumes that within Abaye, Akasha that we had in the Rush before. What's the difference? See how he's reading it? Elish in Achrayis, what do you mean Achrayis? Before you said that if it's not Hino, it is Achrayis on the Lover, right? So what's the answer that we gave? But the Rush means it's not alum de shachrayis. It's not an achrayis that would be consequential. He has to pay the chol. Had to be the Rush. Because before he said it, the Bach's pshat in the Rush was that there is achrayis in the loaf, right? So elish in achrayis al Yisrael amrinan kivin del mafehu gova chazinan ki'ilu kfar kodem ha-pesach ha-yibishus ha-nachri. So according to Rav, by without a rehino, l'chayra, when did it all play out? When did the collection take place?
After
Pesach. The koshkin l'rav, the amalei behedya k'nilach me'achiv d'shtakach d'mafeho k'ni k'ni gamu l'nachri. So, what's the kasha of the Rosh? How we learned the Rambam is not clear, but what's his kasha? That why is it different for Abaye? For Abaye, it was obviously after Pesach. How does he know? Maybe for Abaye it was also due date was before Pesach. Could that be possible? What do you think? Why does the Rosh not conceive that that could be the case?
The Mishnah is talking about after Pesach.
The din of after Pesach, but maybe the due date was before Pesach.
So
but then he already collected it. Because what has to happen to a Mefeu Gover? Is it that's a due date automatically? What has to be? It has to come with Beit Levayim. So if he collected it, then what, the story's over. Right? I mean, what is there to talk about? The story is the end of the story. So Chayra, the collection, had to be after Pesach. So the stomach, that means the Gavayna was when the date was due, when the loan was due. So Abaye, Chayra, was after Pesach. So and that was Mafehu Gover is enough to say, because even though, so during Pesach was considered Bishas Anachri. So Koshkin, he says, with Rava, the Kningach Miachshav, the Mafeh, Kani Kinyin Gomer. So what does the Rav mean? Lo Kani Kinyin Gomer Achat Pesach. It was Kinyin Gomer right away. Just like the Mafehu Gover, so more so with Rava. So if the Rosh Rechen Kassav Raibitzal, the Megiyaz Manu Kodem HaPesach, Afilo Oma Miachshav, if you're talking about a case, the Raibit comes from a different angle. If it's before Pesach, the noni me'achshav kenosh ein dinas machta l'nachri. We'll see what that means. V'chein kasev al iter. Let's just finish another two lines, and we'll see the Rambam inside. Braisa diktani kodem haPesach. What braisa does he mean? What do you mean braisa diktani? The Tosefta, right? So that omer lo koy. No, you're reading the Tosefta wrong. It says achar Pesach. Kodem Pesach doesn't mean that's when it was due. It means that's when he was talking. Avol zman ha'piron ha'achar Pesach. The Acha Pesach, the Masnisen, Hanus Mana Piron. Yeah, and then you have the other part that we just read before. Okay, so that we did the Rush, Baruch Hashem. The last part of it, Ribbis, we're not going to do. So, what do we make of this Rambam? So, let's take a little look at the Rambam. You should have the Rambam here on page number 42. So, what's the Pshan the Rambam? Lashon the Rambam again, Peragdal Lachehei. Inside, Yisrael Shehir in Chemso Eto Agoid, it means Yisrael is a Lover, the Goy is a Malve, Im Omer Lo Mordis Lach Mos, Mikanad Yom Ploni, if I don't pay you by that day, Konei Chom Mitzvah Me'achshav. Require this comment from now, Harezer B'Shus Agoy. So that's the Dinah of Mishnah, that's B'Shus Agoy. Ba'usah Chom, it's Mutar Acha Pesach. So the Rabbim says, hear him. He says, they said Me'achshav. And obviously, he didn't pay. But who sheyia also zman shekavu lo kodem haPesach? It's new condition b'tanu Tosefta. In lo amar lo knei me'achshav, if he didn't say me'achshav, nimtza also chametz ki hu bikonei to agoy va'asa bana l'achar Pesach. If he doesn't say me'achshav, then it's also no good. So there's two issues, there's three issues one could ask in the Rambam. Take it one at a time. What are the kashas we should ask in the Rambam? We have the Rosh's kasha, right? Maishtach Mabaye. But why, if the date was after Pesach, would it be a problem if Umaisa, Umafeya, Me'achshav was fulfilled, it was obviously the Nachri's over Pesach. What's the gender? That's number one. Number two, that we'll see in the like the Mishnah in the Ramach, based on the Ran. Kasha number two, if this man is called in Pesach, then what do you need? Me'achshav. And I would add a third kasha. And if this man is called in Pesach, then like, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? The same way with Abaye, the case is over, finished, it's his. That I found in the Rambam's son, Rambam was asked about this Rambam, and Betochad, I didn't get through everything, but I saw enough to read that was also bothering him. What's the finish of the Mishnah? So let's go one by one. So the Ramach says a little bit clearer. Look in Hagos Ramach, and this is really working off of a Ran. L'chora, let's speak out the Ran, and then maybe the Ramach inside. The Ran has an interesting kasha here. Let's go to the Ran. Yeah, the Ran on our Mishnah. When he brings the Kimta Me'achsha, right, he says, Ran on Mishnah, the Ran on the Rif. So, Nachri Shubba Yisrael, Ukimna La, the Gemara, Gonshirhino Etzlo, Va'amalo, Knimeachsha. Vechi Hai Gavna, in this case, Afa Pishta, who Zimna, the Kavali, Havu Acha Pesach, he's going clearly not like the Rambam. So it's considered to be B'shus HaNachri from the time of the Halva. Even though the due date was after Pesach, so during Pesach it was what? We don't know, but if it ends up being that he didn't pay, so it was always considered to be the Nachri's Chametz. The Yim Tomar, and this is Kasha, is going to be the thrust of what the Rabbi might hold. Frank Duran, came into the Yadal of Dosa. But during Pesach, during this period of Pesach, when the Chametz is in the Rishus of the what? Of the Nachri. But we don't know how it's going to end up. If it's going to end up that he defaults, in which case it was really Nachri's from all along. Or if the Jew will pay the Chol. So, Kivin de B'yadu if doso, if the Lova Yisrael could be poda this, and pay the Chol, in other words, and be poda the Mashkin back, the Chametz back, it's a mailu chash of Chametz Shei Yisrael. What do we find that idea? Kina mina gabi chala. The migo di bai mitchel Allah, ki di day dam yalava bai yiroah, ki di isa perke lo ovid. If you had a chance to look at that in the third parak, so you have one manda amma there. The manda chok is tanoim. One manda amma holds the following, that if you have a person who is mafish chala on Pesach, and it's chametz, so even though it's technically not his chametz because it belongs to the Shevet HaKuhuna, and he's saying it's harei zechala, but he could still be a you have a problem with that. Why? Because says the Gemara, because hoel v'ibay itzu Allah mamonehu. That's Rav Elazar's shita. The Gemara suggests on Nevava Mebeis. So again, Rav Elazar says you should not be. Korei Shem, you'll be mafish techala after everything is baked, because otherwise, even if you're Korei Shem and it's not yours, because it belongs to the Shevet HaKuhuna. So there's another sheet that says, Rabbi Shua says, no, that's not called, it doesn't hold a poel, and it's not called your chametz, because it belongs to whoever, but not you. But Rabbi Elazar says, hoel. He could be shoel on the chal, which is very much like a neder. This could happen. L'mashal, halacha l'maisa. Let's say a person's mafish chal, a woman's mafish chal, and then by accident, you put it right back into the rest of the dough. Now what? So there's a way around that. If you do a taras nedarim, you go get your three neighbors and you matir neder. So then you can find a way. And then you have to do it again. Start again. But there's a halacha. You can even put shoel on any type of hegdish, any type of hafrasha. So, according to this sheet, Rav Elazar, Rashi explains, Rav Elazar sava avra le mishum ho the ibay mitchel ala va hadra le tivra the didehu. The alkol neder behegdish utruma hakadosh va miras peh yachol lishol chacham blako diburo. Hilkach mamone hu va avra le. So what do you see? You saw in the Gemara that Gabi Bayibayi might say the possibility of reversing the situation to the point that now it will be yours is itself to give you a certain stake in this right now. You haven't been shoel, but the fact that you could means it's not always about absolute bailus. It's shaychis, leverage, ability to access. That's what you see all over the place. Matsui, achrayis. So hoel iboy mitzel is enough for bayiroy matzei. Fed the ran. So then, how can this mishnah make sense that it's mutar bahana after Pesach? In a chinami me'achshav means retroactively it was the nachris. But the Yisrael had biyada liftoso throughout Pesach. That means it's a bayiroy for the Yisrael in the kasha. So the ran has to be machalek between the hoel iboy mitzel and the whole biyada liftoso. Yeshua Madilo Dami. The Igu Chala Lo Mitzvah El Dibura Bialma. Abuhacha the Mechsera Mamona Lo Min Beho. What is the Ran's Chiluk? What you need to do by Chala is simply be shown in Eder, that's Dibur. That's a hole that we're concerned about that makes you Vaila Bairoi Matzvah. Nechsera Mamona, he means Gvaina. He means you have to actually collect, you have to be Poder, you have to pay your money to be poded. It's a maisa. It's not collecting, it's really paying the chov. But that's a maisa. Nachser mamona. It's not just dibur. So that's different. That whole we don't hold by. Says the Ramach, say the Nosi came in the Rambam. That's the Pshat in the Rambam on the issue of why the Rambam holds that if this man was after Pesach, there'd be a problem for the Jew after to eat this chametz because it was retroactively the non-Jews, but there was a biyada liftoso. And that's the same hole. The Ram doesn't make the chiluk that the Ram makes. Look at the Ramach on the left margin. This sheet of the Rambam is also ben Ephraim. The chol rabose matmin alav. Everyone's asking kashis. The kokosh is saying enu chazakos, as I've written somewhere else. The yesh lona rayu ledvarav, that in mem vavam the days. So therefore, what must be the case? So that takes care of kasha number one. The Rambam learns that were to be after Pesach, there's a problem of the other lefdosa. What does the Ravid ask in the Rambam? Amar Avram, this is a mild Ravid, okay? The language. Davar zeh lo nahir velo tzahir. What is he saying?
It's wrong,
yeah, but it's not clear to me. Tzahir is tzahir, is also light. Again, this is a mild language. He's sometimes he's much more biting. El afilu lo higiyaz manu l'racha ha-pesach. Eino over alav. So that's where he disagrees on that case. And the biyada liftoso won't count for Hoel, because like the Ram said, it's different. This is just dibur, that's different. But this is giving money. The imi giyaz manu kodem pesach. The Rambam's case says the Ravid, afilu am meachshav kenosh ein din asmach deugoy. What's this all about? In other words, what's the Ravid trying to address? If it's kodem a pesach, so the Rambam still requires meachshav, and the question is why? If it's kodem, so the time came, and he didn't pay. So it becomes the non-Jews before Pesach. So what do you need me'achshav? So the answer is because of what's called asmach. This is what the Magen Mishnah explains, and that the Rabbi is trying to preempt it. In other words, an asmach means that if you are going to make a transaction, but in your mind you're assuming that it's going to be a certain way, and you're saying in the event that it's not that way, you know. So your mind, your das is not fully there. Your das is not shlema, because you're making a commitment that you really don't think it's going to really come to that. All kinds of cases like this in Sanhedrin, in Babetzia, and in Mekabel, a person says, I will, you know, agree to do something if in the event of such a thing. But you don't really think it's going to happen. Gambling, for example, is not smachta. You don't think you're going to lose. So you're not really giving over belief shalem, what you're agreeing that the person will be zoche in. All kinds of examples where you're because of that, you need something to strengthen the das of the person making the kinyan to counteract the fact that you could say that the das is not full. So me'achshav is one of the ways to do that. When you say, I'm doing it right now, then that takes care of the asmachta problem. So that's what the Rishonim say, the Parshim say, the Rambam, that the Rambam would hold that even though it's b'kodem ha-pesach, but just to say, if I don't pay, you think you're going to pay. So even though the time came before Pesach and you didn't pay, it doesn't become the malbez, because when you said it, you're thinking, I'm going to pay. But if you say me'achshav, that takes care of it. But the problem is, what is the rabbi's svar? The rabbi's up. But by a guy, you won't have me'achshav. You don't have a problem with smachta. Why not? It's not clear in svar. Manafshach. If there's an actual problem, it's because that. So why should it be different by a guy? Don't know. Yeah.
Why did you even apply asmachta by a mashkin? Doesn't that just take down the whole din of mashkin? You can never apply it unless you use ma'achshav.
I mean, every mashkin is that way. Well, first of all, shalobas has a basis taking it, so that's what it is. I mean, any herhino type of mashkin,
right.
Any type when you're giving it midas.
So
That's also part of the question. That's what the Magen Mishnah addresses also. Dasa Rav Avram, sheyesh asmachta b'mashkin, k'mo shekasa perkilach mechus mechira, ela shagoy kone ve'en bo din asmachta. The Dasa Rabbeinu, like you said, the Rambam will hold lehepach, she'en din asmachta b'mashkin, k'mo shen esbayer, avol goy mi'isro in a kone, v'cheinu b'gemara. So since it's not a mashkin here, it's something different than mashkin, that's why you need me'achsha. Now, if it were to be a mashkin, the Rambam would hold, you don't have a problem in asmachta. That's the definition of mashkin. But if it's something other than mashkin, and since a goy is not called a mashkin, so therefore you have to call it something else. So if you call it something else, then that something else has an asmachta problem, which is fixed with me'achsha. But now the other question that leaves us hanging is, so what at the end of the day is the chiddush of the Mishnah? According to the Rambam, if everything is already done before Pesach, comes the Mishnah with this beautiful chiddush, right? Nachri shivitzol chemso. According to the Rambam, Shas HaPiron, due date, before Pesach. What's the case according to Rava? Me'achshav, no asmachta. Higi azman, lo para, and now what? Now the guy is ochet, based on the terms of the understanding. So me'achshav, before Pesach, case closed. So what's left for the Mishnah to tell us that acha Pesach mutar v'ana? Like, what's the chiddush? What does Yisrael have in it that you would think it should be asubana? I mean, the problem, the very basic question that's not fully directly addressed. Although I see it here in the shayla of the Birkas Avram, the son of the Rambam. I'm going to read a little bit from this tonight because it's nice to hear how he writes. The old hook shalom mashamai so shirin oschem so esel goy. Bushi as man kabur kodem a Pesach. So he brings the Tkash as one in Me'achshav, he kvi as man will hexel ma'osav. The Oud. Here's all in the Kash that he's addressing, the person asked him. But Kigon zet svicha l'meymar, havadei chomet shel goyhu. V'lo nishtaya l'Yisrael bo klum. V'harei hu, kechomet shenimkar l'goy, necher gomor. It's like chametz is sold to a guy before Pesach. So these are the kashas. So he says in the tshuva, yeah, Noach.
But isn't it a chiddush? The two things we just said are chiddush. The fact that there is asmachta the goy, the fact that you apply hol in this case.
The fact that the tanai worked. That ikar chasam nasefa. The Mishnah doesn't even tell me exactly that it was a me'achshav, and that becomes the whole chiddush that you need a me'achshav. Me'achshav works. Strange.
If we make the ukim to that me'achshav, then that is what the Mishnah is saying.
Yeah.
Also, according to I don't know if we solved the problem for Abaye. You could still apply hol for Abaye.
What about Rabash's kasha? Rabbi the Rabash's kasha. Unless the Rabbim will hold it in Chinami. The same way we're struggling anyway. What happens? It's all over before Pesach. Maybe Abai also happened before Pesach. Zu bade kusha shalai l'hakshos kimosa v'kamaz manis kasha seh li kusha zu b'chai abba marizal. He says, even when father was alive, he's saying, his father, the Rambam, I had this problem. Ach apire shri taima misvara. And he begins to quote. I wish I had a chance to go through the whole thing. I just was, just Mamish just quote me this morning that I found that this was the Bar Ilan quotes Birkas Avram on the Rambam they give you Nosei Kelim. So Nosei Kelim are all, you know, everything from Nagid Mishnah to obscure Achronim. But in the list was Birkas Avram. And I knew that the son of the Rambam Sefer of Shuvis is called Birkas Avram. So I said, this must be the son of the Rambam, which I happen to have the volume. So I managed to found it's She'ela Chavez. They must have taken it and put it on every Rambam, where, you know, what it is. But it's here, just a list of Shuvis. So I managed, didn't have a chance to go through it. But Lamaisa, what I think, again, I don't know if this is going to be consistent or not, what I think you have to say, without elaborating, But this we're gonna. I want to say more about this with Rashi, so I think it's going to be kedai to at least think about it. There is a tshuva. Actually, there is a tshuva for Rambam. I don't have it with me. In Peradot, where they asked him three different questions on three different Rambams, and one of them was this Rambam as well. It's also interesting. But what I think you have to say is that apparently this me'achshav is not as simple as it sounds. Okay. I'm not going to say much more right now, but the idea of me'achshav, I think this is muchrach in Rashi, because Rashi leaves out the ikar, if that's the case, in the Mishnah. Take another look at Rashi and the Mishnah, and then tell me what you make of the Gemara and Rashi and put it together. What's the Nekuda, according to Rashi, that makes the Mishnah legible and logical? What's the Nekuda? Yeah? Meaning, and when you read the Gemara, it sounds like the Me'achshav, and we have to figure out the Hirhino, why you need Hirhino if you have Me'achshav. Our agenda right now with the Rush has been, if you have Me'achshav, we have Hirhino. For Rashi, the fulcrum of the Mishnah is Hirhino. Now, does Rashi mean the Havmin of the Gemara, which sometimes Rashi does, which is Kinyan Mashkin? Possible. Or does Rashi even mean to include the Maskana of the Gemara? That's open question. But the fact that Rashi leaves out Me'achshav, and the Gemara says Me'achshav, and if Rashi doesn't need to include the Maskana, then it comes out Me'achshav is more a detail and not the fundamental Nekuda. So that's why I begin to thinking that Me'achshav might not be as straightforward Hakanah. If that's what it is, then the Hirhino is more like the Tufel here, and the Me'achshav is the Iker. But I think you have to say in Rashi is the other way around, that the Iker Nekuda of the Mishnah is the Hirhino, whether it's Kinyan Mashkin, whether it's something else. And the Me'achshav is just, and because it's Mechusa Guvayna point, and what did Mechusa Guvayna have to do with Kinyan Mashkin? That's also important. But the Mechusa Guvayna lacking, so that seems to be the main Nekud in Rashi. So what is Me'achshav? Me'achshav is something else. And I think for the Rambam also. The Rambam, even though there was Me'achshav, there's a Chiddush to understand that the Jew, it's not called the Jew's Chametz, because of the Me'achshav. But not because it's mamish the goyim, it's because it's enough to at least tip the scale to say that it's considered to be not the Jews. But it's a chiddush. There's still a chiddush to address. Yeah?
Wouldn't we die in Rashi and the Mishnah one way or another whether he holds like the Rambam?
Do you think, what does Rashi say when the due date was?
What is the Rashi and the Mishnah?
Where? Go ahead.
When it says, like, not sure if it's a strong ball, stop, home, so put the Pesach, or the Pesach.
Rashi and the Mishnah. V'ab, most of the quoted bits of Av Lav Pesach. Sounds like it's afterwards.
Right. So
sounds. Oh, you mean, and when was the due date?
Right.
No.
Is there a way we might agree on either direction?
I don't see for sure one way or the other. Rashi sort of sussed him on that. Rashi's discussing now the issue is after Pesach. When the date was due, when the loan was due, Rashi doesn't definitely say. Hard to know. I don't see any indication one way or the other. If I don't have any indication, I would assume that it's after Pesach, because right. That the Rambam is the Chiddush. All right, anyway, so that's to look at a little bit, maybe think about Rashi, and I think I'd like to see if I can take a little bit from the Muhammad of the Ramban and Rabbeinu David, and then I also want to talk about Chometz Mavkiyim and Yeshiva, maybe one that probably went this year next week, and then maybe the last piece of Gemara before the Mishnah, that'll be the last couple of days we have a week after that. Okay.
Is some of this when we explain the chiluk between in the Rosh between a shomer and ma'achshav?
Yeah.
In a way, it sounded like the whole svara that in ma'achshav. Would you agree? Because then it's funny that he disagrees with the Rambam.
So how did Rosh learn the Rambam? It's not clear either. Well, what did the Rosh think the Rambam's logic was that it has to be before Pesach? Why? We were suggesting. The Yadda Liftoso, the Ran, but I don't know, that's how the Rush took it, or maybe some other reason. Okay, so we're supposed to get, okay.
Wow, look at that. Yeah,
okay, everybody. Those who are virtual can enjoy their own lunch with us, or you can, okay, stay after that.